Lecture 19, Jewish Law, Martin Buber versus Franz Rosenzweig.
We asked the question in the previous lecture, why was Buber more popular, some say, in the non-Jewish world, the Christian world, than the Jewish world? And I already gave at least one answer. There were several answers here, but one answer clearly had to do with his very unpopular notions, at least at the time when he pronounced them, with respect to Zionism, binational state, his more radical views about Jews and Arabs getting along in the Middle East. Politically, within the governments of either the right wing or the Labor Party, he was considered to be, let's say, an idealist as opposed to being a realist or a pragmatist. But the other issue, which created some difficulty for certain Jews with Buber, was over the question of Jewish law. That is ritual practice. That is ceremonial law. This issue has confronted us several times within this course, but now we want to consider it head on in terms of a wonderful debate between two close colleagues and friends, two philosophers who espouse similar notions of Jewish theology. The first, of course, is Martin Buber. The second is his colleague, Franz Rosenzweig. Rosenzweig probably deserves 10 lectures on his Jewish theology. I've purposely left him out because of the complexity of his thought, but I do want to introduce him to us in the context of his very famous debate over the issue of Jewish law with Martin Buber. Let us assume, for the purposes of this course, that in many respects the notion of Rosenzweig had of God, the notion of religiosity, of spirituality, even though he doesn't use the words I, thou, I, it, he would probably concur in understanding the human condition as Buber understood it. But on the question of law, they parted. By the way, they also, as we said, collaborated on this translation of the Bible into German, the Buber-Rosenzweig translation, which was an attempt to offer, as we said, the openness and spontaneity of the relationship between God and the Jewish people in terms of translating it into a German which could convey the feeling they were trying to convey. Let us talk directly about this debate, and I plan on reading at least a few chosen lines, although they are dense, but nevertheless will give you a sense of the flavor and the intensity of these two positions. But before doing that, let us introduce the subject by speaking about Jewish law in general. You see, while it comes up before in the 19th century, in the 20th century it becomes the most important question. God, of course, is also a difficult question. Particularity is also an important question for Jewish thinkers. But the issue of what I do as a Jew, why should I do anything? Why have this responsibility of 613 mitzvot, or commandments, in Judaism? Why not simply be a secular Jew, as we saw? We saw several secular definitions of Judaism. Why not go to live in the land of Israel? Why not speak Hebrew? Why not eat Jewish food or think Jewish thoughts or feel Jewish feelings? Isn't that enough to define one's own identity as a cultural, ethnic, even religious identity? Why the need for ceremonial law? If law is simply moral law, all of us want to be moral. But what about ceremonial law? Let us briefly review some of the positions we've encountered up until now to contextualize, to put in context, the debate that we're going to talk about. You recall, going back to Mendelssohn, the distinction between moral law, eternal truths based upon reason, and ritual commandments, which he puts in category number 3. Remember, there are eternal truths of reason, historical truths, and ceremonial laws. Notice that in his own judgment, they, that is, category moral law and ceremonial law, they are of equal value and equally obligatory upon every Jew. But taking that same distinction, as we saw, beginning with Abraham Geiger and Hermann Cohn and Leo Beck, the distinction is still there. The moral law can be reached through reason. The ceremonial law is revealed by God. But clearly, already in Geiger, it is inspired by God, it is written by man, it can be interpreted in every generation by men, and therefore it can also be discarded.